Heavenly Father, we come before you. We're thankful, Lord, for this opportunity to be assembled here. We ask, God, that you would just direct us, dear Lord God, through your word this morning, that it be a help and uplifting to the people. We ask, Lord God, for you to take full preeminence of this service and to receive all glory from it. We ask in Jesus Christ's name, amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 14. And I want to begin reading at verse 11. Numbers 14, verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by day in a pillar of a cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according to thy greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. You may be seated. What we'd like to take a subject on is of great mercy. He's a God of great mercy. Now, the mercies of God doesn't allow us to live loosely. It in no way is God compromising his word or altering his word in order to let us get around something. His mercy holds back the judgment which we're due when we have failed or fallen. His mercy holds back the judgment, and his grace lifts us back up and sets our feet back up on the path of righteousness. Turn with me to Isaiah 55:10. Isaiah 55:10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and bringeth it forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. So his word is going to prosper. His word, when God speaks it, he's going to bring it to pass. It'll fulfill what he says. In the message of possessing the gate of the enemy after a trial, Brother Branham says, God is true to his promise. No matter what he has to do, he'll bankrupt heaven before he'll let his word go defeated. He's never made a promise that he can't keep. Now, just thinking for a moment about in the Garden of Eden, when man had fallen and man was going forth out of the garden, and the way to the tree of life was guarded so that man could not approach into it. But God looked down on his children, and he saw them going forth from the garden. And the prophet said, he said, I can see God that filled all space and time and eternity coming down like into a funnel. And he says, and it got right down to the heart of God and spelled L-O-V-E. And God said, I can't let my children go forth that way. And so he said, I'll put enmity between the serpent seed and the seed of the woman. And he said, in other words, what he was saying was, I'll bring you back. I will redeem you back. And then when Calvary was accomplished, that was God accomplishing his word that he would redeem man back. The greatness of God's mercy there showed the ability to achieve or to bring completion that which he started. Redeem back man. God's great power is not in his ability to destroy, but in his ability to restore. God's great power is not in his ability to bring something to annihilation, but his great power is to redeem something, to redeem man back from the grips of sin. Now back to our text where we started. Wanted to read from Discernment of Spirit. Brother Branham says about this, he says, we find out the children of Israel had disobeyed in such a way until God was angry with them. And he said to Moses, step aside, I'll destroy the whole group of them, and I'll take you and raise up another generation. Israel was wrong. And they had 10 times had disbelieved God. And God, in his anger at them, told Moses, step aside. I'm going to destroy every one of them. I've had it with them. In other words, how long will it be that they won't believe me? Because, see, God's word was, he told him he was going to bring them forth unto the land which he had promised Abraham. But time after time, they didn't believe that God was able to do it. Time after time, they thought that God had abandoned them simply because they came up against a trial, simply because they came up against a hardship. We should never, when we come against a hardship, never let the thought enter our mind, well, he's abandoned us. Well, we're going through something really hard here. I can't understand it. Maybe God don't love us no more. We should never entertain those thoughts. I'm not saying they won't come. I'm saying we shouldn't entertain them. We're human, and Satan knows how to work on us as humans. And Satan can inject thoughts into our minds. But we don't have to sit, as Brother Branham said, we don't have to let those birds nest there. The discernment of spirit, he said, Moses threw himself in the path of God's judgment and said, take me before you take them. In other words, before you get them, you have to come over me. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. When God would have wiped the whole face of the earth off of these sinners, and you and I, but Christ threw himself in the path, and God couldn't do it. He couldn't come over his own son. And when God seen that spirit in Moses, hanging in the judgment like a cross there, you can't come to them, you will have to take me first. What was it? It was the spirit of Christ in Moses that stood there in the gap, in the breach between God and the people, and intervened for the people and said, you're a God of great mercy. If you destroy this people, then it'll go throughout all the nations. They'll say you weren't able to bring them to the land which you promised them. That you weren't capable. Moses, in a prefigure did the very thing Christ did for us. He stood there and brought about the greatness of God's mercy unto us. God's greatness would not have, if God would have destroyed them, his greatness would not have been displayed. His greatness was displayed by giving them mercy. The greatness of his mercy was to fulfill his word, I will bring you to this land. Philippians 1 and 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He begun the work in us. Then he's the one that's going to bring it, not me, not Brother Jerry, not Brother Phil, not anyone else in his church. It's God himself will bring it to a completion in your life. God working on your life. And I'll tell you this, God will, when it comes to correction, God will bring correction. He will even allow evil spirits to come and torment you, to correct you. That's the truth. I was thinking yesterday while I was working, I was thinking, you know, we see sometimes different ones, they stray away from the Lord, quit coming to church. And I was thinking, you know, to pray for those people, not just praying for them in a way of, oh God, have mercy, although we want God to have mercy. But God in his mercy could bring their lives to a miserable state to let them know that they need to get back in church. I'll tell you what. That's how I normally will pray. God, make them miserable. Help them so that, keep them from sleeping. Don't let them get any sleep. Don't let them, make them weary, Lord. Make it be on their mind constantly. Torment them with it if you have to. Just get them back to the Lord. Moses was there when God gave his word at the burning bush. He told Moses to go down there that he was going to deliver those people. And so when God comes forth and says, I'm going to kill them, then Moses could stand there and say, wait a minute, that's not your word. That's what Moses was saying. He says, as thou hast said, that you're of long suffering and of great mercy. See, he took the very words of God and put it right back to God. He said, this is your word. You can't step over top of your word. He put the word in God's way. Pardon, I beseech thee, says, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy. It wasn't Moses' word. It was God's word. It was God's desire that lit that prophet's heart to stand there in the way as the Spirit of Christ and speak out mercy for him. James 2 and 13 said, for he shall judge without mercy that hath shown no mercy. So and also Jesus talks about this and he gives a parable concerning it of one that would receive mercy for a debt he owed, but he turned on himself and wouldn't give mercy to someone who owed him. And here it's saying, one that won't show mercy, there will be no mercy given to them in judgment. But it says mercy rejoices in judgment. How can mercy rejoice in judgment? Friends, I tell you, I long for the mercies of God, not for his judgment. James 3 and 17 said, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, and full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Proverbs 3 and 19 says, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. Turn with me, if you would, if you have your Bibles, to Psalms 79. I want to read a couple of verses there. Psalm 79:8 says, oh, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercy speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. So speedily means quickly. Let your tender mercies quickly meet us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name. And deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. In other words, your name is on the line here. That was what Moses was presenting to God. He says, it has been voiced abroad that you're among this people. Your name is on the line. Your credentials, your reputation, as it were, is on the line here. Do it for thy name's sake. The message of God, who is rich in mercy, the Ram says, look what he did now. How can we see how he promised each age a certain thing to happen? And we find out that it happened just exactly like that he said it would do, because he is rich in his mercy, to always have mercy, to fulfill every word that he has promised. God's mercy works in direct continuity with bringing his word to fulfillment. God will fulfill his word. It will not return unto him void. Friends, I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for the mercies of God, his word on us would return void. But God has mercy on us. Great mercy. Mercy is not an afterthought. Mercy was put in place before there was a sinner. Noah first built an ark. God made preparation to extend mercy because he knew there would be those that would want mercy. God also knew there would be those that would reject mercy, that not everyone desires mercy. It seems strange that not everyone would desire mercy, but they don't desire the mercy of God, because the mercy of God is on God's terms. You want mercies from this flood that God is bringing? Then you need to take God's provided way. You want mercies from the judgment that is coming on this earth at this time? You want mercy to escape the great tribulation? Then you need to take God's provided way. What's God's provided way for today? To surrender our lives completely to him. Let him have full preeminence in our lives. But I've seen over time, I've seen people sell out. Just like Esau, I've seen people sell out for things. There was one family, they become offended because when my wife and I bought a new house and we bought a new car, and they became offended, and they decided they were going to quit church. They weren't going to give tithing anymore because they were offended. In other words, I guess they figured I didn't need their tithing, and I didn't. They left, and I still bought the house. They left, and I still bought the car. You know, when I think about things like that, I think, what would happen if you went to work and on Friday they just said, we're deciding we're not paying you anymore? You would tell, you'd be the first one to tell them, well, I've worked hard. I give my blood and sweat for this. Psalms 119:58 says, I entreat thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Psalms 145:8-9 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. He's gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all of his works. God's going to bring to pass what he has spoken concerning his bride. And I'll tell you this, friends, you can come easy or you can come hard, but if you belong to God, you're coming. I can tell you that one time in my life I had an opportunity to come easy. I had an opportunity, but you know what? I passed that opportunity up. And I don't know, I tell you with this, the reason the Desert Storm come up was because of a boy named Jerry Browning that was running from God. Young man running from the Lord. I was talking to a friend of mine when we were over there in the Gulf, and it just seemed like that things just kept going wrong. And we were there, and I told him, I said, you ever read in the Bible about Jonah? And he said, yes. I said, well, I'm the Jonah here. I said, all this stuff is happening because I've been running from God. So I came the hard way. I remember when we were going to deploy to go to the Gulf, I started begging God, Lord, I'll serve you now. I'll do right now. Do you know what? God didn't pay a bit of attention to that. Because he knew he was going to have to take me through it. Because if God would have said, all right, spare me and I wouldn't have had to go, you think I would have held to my word? No. He had to bring me down hard. But that was my choice. That wasn't God's choice. I mean, that was my choice. But God will do whatever he has to. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He's the Father of mercies. The mercy of God is Jesus Christ. He is the issue of God's mercy to man. Brother Branham speaks in the scripture, in the message of God's wrapped gift, and about a few other places as well. He talked about being in South Africa and how he had been around and saw those diamond mines. And when they would bring forth those diamonds, he saw what they looked like. And they're just stones. There's no shine to them at all. But they call them diamonds in the rough. And they have to be cut. You know that. Everyone knows that. They got to be cut before they'll bring forth and shine and sparkle or show what's on the inside and the quality. And every diamond, the diamonds, according to its clearness, they have a different quality to them. I don't know exactly the way they grade them, but they grade them in such a way when they look at them to see whether it's cloudy or whether it's clear. And the more clear it is, the more it's worth. But when they bring it out of there, they can't see any of that yet. It has to be cut before they can begin to see what quality that diamond is. And that's the same thing with us. Here we are, what are we? Diamonds in the rough. But God takes by his word and through his ministry, and he begins to make cuts. And he cuts here and he cuts there. And what is he doing? He's cutting away everything. You say, well, all that's diamond. No, but there's a certain part of it that is ordained to be the diamond that'll shine. And once those cuts are made, then it shows the true quality of what's in it. That's the way with us. And then God will send and he'll polish it. To show the true quality that's in God, the true quality that's in you, God is going to bring it out. It doesn't matter how sometimes the cut might hurt. Sometimes you might not like what you hear. But in the end, it's going to bring out and show the quality of what you are. John 1:14 says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The word full there means thoroughly permeated, saturated. He was saturated with grace. Jesus Christ, the Word, full of grace. I like something that Brother Branham says in the Message of Grace. He says, grace is sovereign. It doesn't have to ask anybody's permission for nothing. It does what it wants to. He says, it doesn't have to ask, can I, shall I, must I? He says, grace does what it wants to do. It's sovereign. And it's given by a sovereign God. And it can save the vilest sinner. I'm glad grace didn't have to come and ask some people, is it okay if I save Jerry Browning? There were some people that I grew up around that, as a teenager, to them, I was one of the worst of the worst, and I guess perhaps maybe I was. But that didn't put me beyond God's saving grace. Sometimes I think I was such a rascal just because I knew they were going to talk about me anyhow. There's people that didn't like my dad. And some of those people that didn't care for my dad, why, they were always looking at a way to find fault, point at my dad. And I guess I gave him plenty of places to point. But I always said, you know, I'm my own person. And my mom would say, you're a reflection on your dad's ministry. And I, I don't know how this went around my mind that way, but I used to tell her when I was a teenager, I don't want to be Dad's taillights. I said, you know what? I'm more than Brother Browning's son. My name is Jerry. I got a name. And I'm going to be my own person. There come a day when I was proud to be called the son of James Browning. And I'm glad that God's saving grace didn't have to ask anybody's permission whether he was going to save me or not. Brother Branham said, it showed there when the thief was hanging on the cross. And the one said to him, be merciful unto me. And he said, then through all the blood and the pain and the agony, God's grace spoke forth and said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. The message of Jehovah Jireh. He says, a man is a failure. He's totally lost at his birth. There's no good in man. If there's anything good about man, it's the part of God that was in him. For a man in himself is totally no good. And there's not any goodness about him at all. It's God that did it for him. So we cannot say that we did this to deserve this. We pray all night to get this. It isn't whether you do this or that. It's God. It's not him that willeth nor him that runneth. It's God that sheweth mercy. And it lays in the hands of God. It's God that shows mercy. Brother Branham said that he could save a wretch like me. William Branham, a drunkard's son. But that don't make no difference. His grace saved me. Show us the Father. He says, most gracious Holy Father, as we approach thy divine throne of grace, we stand in the shadows of thy justice. We would ask, Lord, that by your grace that you would forgive us of our sin and trespasses. We desire mercy. Do not judge us according to our lives and our works. Do not give us justice. Give us mercy. It's not our works that draws his mercy. It's his word that draws his mercy. It's not how good we can be. I'm glad it's not of works. Who wants justice? He says this and hear ye him. Who wants justice? I want to know today who in this church would plead for justice. Not me. I plead for mercy, not justice. I'm justly due to die and go to hell. But it's the mercy of God that saves me, not the justice. I don't want it. How dare anybody say I want justice? I don't want justice. I want mercy. God's provided way. He says, holy and divine God, we come into thy presence. We ask mercy, Lord. We do not long, neither do we crave for justice. We could not stand the justice of God. The justice of God would condemn us, make us sinners, and turn us away. We do not desire your law, Father, because your law would make us all sinners. But we desire your grace. We desire your pardoning grace through Jesus, your Son, which all who will believe is accepted. Sirs, we would see Jesus, he says. We pray tonight that every backslider that's in this building, that thou will put forth thy hand of mercy. Carefully pick him up and lay him upon your shoulder and carry him safely back to the fold. We pray tonight, Heavenly Father, he says here, this in... Sirs, we would see Jesus. He says, we pray tonight, Heavenly Father, that thou in thy great mercy will stretch forth thy hand and touch every sinner in the building. And may when they leave tonight, may they not go from here sinners, disbelievers, but may they go rejoicing, happy, and praising God. We pray tonight that for every backslider that's in the building, that thou put forth thy hand of mercy and carefully pick him up and lay him upon your shoulder and carry him safely to the fold. And the expectation says, and if there's anyone else who desires to come at this time, we're not telling you to go to certain churches. We want you to go to church you want to, but we want you to come now. If you feel condemned in your heart and you come in and was wrong, that you sinned and done that which is wrong, the altar's open for your confession to God, not to me or any other man, but to God. Come and ask forgiveness. He's here in great mercy to heal the sick and forgive the sinner. God, in his great mercy, is able to take our lives and remove the sin without destroying the sinner. The world looks, and they see the same individual they've always saw. In other words, you don't look any different physically. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's the inside man. That's why the world looks at you and they ponder, they wonder, well, you look like the same person I've seen here before, but you're acting different now. You look the same, but something about you is different. What is it? Something got changed on the inside. Psalms 86 and 12:13 says, I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Great is thy mercy toward me, David says. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read, start at verse 1 there. Ephesians chapter 2. Great is thy mercy. I'm thankful for the mercies of God this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all of our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, when Jesus saves us, it's his through his great mercy that he saves us. But you know what? Even after he saved you, you still need his mercy. Because we walk in this human flesh, see, taste, smell, hear, feel, and it's in contact with this world. And then we have those gates in our spirit, which Satan can come and try to interfere in there. Satan comes and tries to get us to reason upon things. He comes and tries to put things in your imagination. Sometimes it's to imagine someone's thinking something about you when they're really not. Sometimes Satan can get you to imagine, well, the whole church thinks this or that of me when they really don't. He works many times in the imaginations to get to bring thoughts. I remember Brother Branham talking about there was a man that was standing on the platform and he was having a prayer line. And this brother was standing up there with him. And they had some other brothers standing up there. And all of a sudden this one brother kind of backed off. And Brother Branham asked him about it later, and he said, Brother Branham, I'm sorry. He said, I had one of the most horrible thoughts go through my mind while I was standing there. He said, so I just backed away. And Brother Branham told him, said, I'm sorry, you got in the way. That thought was meant for me. And that's something. To think that he would stand there in a prayer line and Satan just be shooting evil thoughts in his head. And him be able to stand there and say, you're not from this place. You're from a certain town. You're certain address. And your name is this. And I seen you sitting in the doctor's office and describe the doctor's office and describe the doctor and tell what the doctor said to you. That was God in his great mercies. I'll tell you that. Amen. Be able to lay hands on somebody and whatever was ailing them, leave them right away. That wasn't man. That was God in God's great mercies to man. Amen. You know, I think about those that have left a message, but I think mostly of my oldest son. And I pray sometime I get a chance to ask him, have you ever saw any of that happen in anybody else's ministry? What do you got to say about that? The power of God not to send us to hell. Power of God is in his mercy and his grace. He lifts us up and changes us and saves us from hell. God, Brother Branham said, will bankrupt heavens before he'll let his word go defeated. I like that. He will bankrupt heaven before he'll let his word go defeated. And his word is that he who hath started a good work in you will finish it until the end. Amen. I'm counting on that, ain't you? Amen. And you know, when you feel that, can feel convicted, you know, you feel condemned over something, that's the time to get right. That's the time to turn away from whatever that is and turn back to God. He's a God of great mercy. Amen. Let's stand, Brother Nate, prepare to come. Heavenly Father, we thankful, Lord, this morning for your word. Thankful, Lord God, for your great mercy, dear God, and the simplicity of it, Lord, that it's not something that is hard to understand. Lord, in the simplicity of your word, we see the character of Jesus Christ. I ask God for you to touch each and every person that's here today. Lord, you know, Lord, their condition. You know the state that they're in. I pray, dear God, that you'll beckon to them, God, and any that's in need of mercy, may you show them mercy, Lord. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God. Amen.
Here's all I need. Here's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Here's all I need. Stand on my feet. Here is God's told me, say, oh, I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up more than I. Yeah.